Please turn to Psalm 51, and we're continuing our slow journey through Psalm 51 for our time of confession of sin. We've learned much from this psalm, and we're going to go and read verses 10 through 13 of Psalm 51 this morning. Beginning in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. This is God's word. So as we continue our meditations on Psalm 51 this morning, we come to verse 11 in this section, where David says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And this verse has often raised questions in people's minds. First of all, is it possible that the Holy Spirit of God indwelling David would completely leave him? Is that even a possibility? And that's one question. Another question might be, is he just talking about the Spirit's dwelling in helping him to be a king? Because remember how Saul had the Spirit depart from him when the Lord rejected him, and then the Spirit came and rested upon David. So some think it's just talking about the Spirit indwelling him to act as king. And so that's one interpretation. I don't think that's what David is talking about. I really do think he's speaking about the Spirit's work in him as a believer, just as we would experience the indwelling work of the Spirit to comfort us, to instruct us, to grant us the Holy Spirit. It seems that David's talking about more than his kingship here. He's talking about his relationship with the living God. So does it imply that the Spirit can just leave? Is that what he means? Well, there's a couple observations in that regard. The first is to remember that David is asking throughout Psalm 51 that the Lord would not deal with him according to justice. So you remember earlier in Psalm 51, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. So he's saying, don't deal with me according to justice. Don't bring me to judgment for my sins. And of course, the Lord graciously forgave David. Nathan the prophet told David, he says, your sins have been put away. You will not die. And so if we come to verse 11 and we think, is he saying that this is actually a possibility? Well, I think we need to see that David is saying to God, don't deal with me according to justice by removing your presence from me. Don't remove your Holy Spirit from me. Because if God was to act in judgment, then he could justly do that. We would be banished from his presence if our sins are not covered through the blood of Christ. So I think that's the way in which he's speaking. And of course, we also have to see this verse in light of the promises that the Scriptures give us about the work of the Holy Spirit. We're told in 1 Peter 1 that the Holy Spirit is given to us as an imperishable seed. It says you have been born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible, and you have this imperishable seed. It's not going to go away. You're not going to lose it. Ephesians 1 says that the Spirit of God is given as a down payment, as a pledge. It's like a deposit or earnest money. You think about when you buy a house and you set a contract and you give some money as an earnest, as a beginning point to say the rest is coming. And the Spirit of God is given to us in that way as that inheritance, that earnest of our inheritance that is to come. And yet what David is saying is that if the Spirit of God was to be removed from me, that would be the most terrifying thing I can imagine. To be cast out of God's presence, to not have his Spirit anymore, that is a frightening thing to contemplate. So how does this guide us in our confession of sin? I think what it's telling us is that we are in desperate need of the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit, there is no life. Jesus tells us in John 6, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. And when you or I sin against God, we see how weak we are in the flesh. We sense our need for the indwelling work of the Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to enlighten our minds, to increase the fruit of the Spirit in us. And so I think David is contemplating this fearful possibility of the Spirit departing. And we know in light of the promises of God, the Spirit's not going to leave him. The very fact that he says, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me," is a sign of the Spirit's work in his heart. His breathing after the presence of God is longing and hungering for the presence of God. And so when we sin against God, it should humble us greatly so that we see our neediness. We see how poor we are, how much we need the Spirit of God. And it should remind us as well that to have the Spirit of God, to be in the presence of God, is a great treasure. It is a privilege beyond description to have this Spirit indwelling us. When we read something like that in Ephesians 1, that we've been given the Holy Spirit, oh, brothers and sisters, that is an immense treasure, an indescribable treasure. And so then we also are reminded of Luke chapter 11, where Jesus told us this. So David is contemplating this fearful possibility that, "Lord, don't take your Spirit from me." Well, what does Jesus tell us in Luke 11? He tells us that our Father is a good Father and he gives good gifts. Luke 11, verse 11. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so if David here in verse 11 is afraid of this, what would you say to David? And what would you say to yourself? You take the words of Jesus. He says, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Give me your Holy Spirit." And Jesus says, he's a good heavenly Father. He will give his Spirit to you. He's going to answer that prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, we see this verse. In some ways, it's a frightening verse. But then we have the promises of God that give us such confidence that if we come thirsting for the work of the Spirit, asking God for these things, then he will pour these blessings out upon us. And so in summary then, brothers and sisters, as we confess our sins, first of all, let us see how needy we are. Without the Spirit, we do not have life. And then secondly, let us come with confidence, knowing that for those who come desiring the increase of the Spirit, that he will grant that to us as a good, loving Heavenly Father. So come now, confess your sins before the throne of grace. Come through the blood of Christ, our High Priest. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you are a good Father, and we come with gratitude that you do forgive us of our sins through the blood of Christ, that as we join David in saying, "Blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity," we know that you will do these things, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And Lord, as we reflect upon this past week, we do confess that we've broken your commandments. We confess our lack of love. We confess our selfishness, our anger, our bitterness, our lust, our covetousness. And we sense how needy we are, Lord. We can't live without the work of your Spirit, and so grant us life. We're thankful that you have given us your Spirit to indwell us, and we ask for an increase of his work in our lives, that we would be continually filled with the Spirit. And we're thankful for the promise that our Lord Jesus gives us. How much more will our Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And we do ask for that now. And we each now take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.